My name's David Gallup. My wife Nancy and I are artists who travel the world seeking inspiration for our paintings. And this is the story of my best dive ever. It was on our honeymoon 2 years ago when we visited the island of Rangiroa in the South Pacific Tuamotu island chain. We had heard of Rangiroa as the shark and dolphin diving mecca it is, and we couldn't wait to get into the water. Rangiroa is a lagoon island, ring-shaped, with only two major passes from open sea to inner lagoon. It's one of the largest lagoon islands in the world, with 900 square miles of lagoon surface and a maximum depth of only 35 feet. So as you can imagine, when the tide is low, all that lagoon water moving back out to sea creates a very powerful current in the major pass. And as you might also imagine, diving in the lagoon is a coral lover's dream. In addition to being one of the most abundant coral ecosystems in the world, it's also a nursery for juvenile sharks who live in the lagoon until they're ready for the open sea. And it's the coming together of these two bodies of water where the real drama occurs. If a diver is lucky enough to dive to Puta Pass, Rangiroa's major pass connecting the lagoon to the sea, during an outgoing tide at sunset, there's a scene which is difficult to even describe. A little geographical overview is probably necessary. On the outgoing tide, the water rushing from the massive lagoon through a pass only a quarter of a mile wide and a quarter of a mile long reaches speeds of about 8 knots, a current so strong that divers are continually warned not to get swept out to sea in it. This, however, is exactly what a spawning fish loves to find, a current strong enough to carry their eggs far out to the open water at sunset. So when the conditions are right, nearly every fish in the South Pacific seems to show up at the pass for spawning. Triggers, groupers, butterfly fish, anthia, wrasse, you name it. And when you get that many spawning fish, you also get hungry predators. Hundreds of sharks of a dozen species, schools of massive tuna, barracuda, reef sharks, tiger sharks, hammerheads, every kind of ray, and more sharks. Also, dolphins, and did I mention less of sharks? The day we did the sunset outgoing tide at Taputa Pass, there had been rain and wind. The seas were 12 feet high in the rubber-sided dive boat as we headed out to sea amidst leaping dolphins, whirling shearwaters, gulls, and albatross. The water was already turning teal black with the setting sun as we leaned back into the abyss, happy to be off that boat and into the much calmer water below. As I oriented myself in the water, I realized that I had nearly plunged right in on top of a manta ray. It was my first manta encounter, and the size was hard to be prepared for at this close distance as it gracefully banked to avoid colliding with me, moving peacefully back into the blue. As we approached the steep reef, about 40 feet down, we spotted a nearby barracuda tornado. It was exciting, and I really wanted to investigate it, but our guides took us the opposite direction. As exciting as it would have been to get into the middle of that tornado, we were here for the spawning at the pass, and the barracudas would wait another day. There was still a little light penetrating at 80 feet as we approached the pass. Large predators such as sharks and tuna are common there at any time, but now they were in numbers which overwhelmed the senses, and their attitudes were charged with the enthusiasm for the hunt. Tuna put on bursts of speed, seeming to almost intimidate some of the sharks, which flinched out of their way as they hurtled past like torpedoes. The sharks, too, were not only more abundant, but they moved differently. Sleek, languid cruising had turned into erratic, jolting motions with abrupt turns and bursts of speed. Everyone was hunting now, or spawning. Massive shoals of red-toothed triggerfish gathered just above the reef. Suddenly, in a flash, a single female would swim at top speed, about 10 feet above the mass, and release her eggs, diving back to the relative safety of the school just as quickly. In another flash, a dozen or more males would race to her egg cloud, each trying to be the first to fertilize the eggs before they were broadcast out to the open sea. There are many thousands of spawning triggerfish, but also the magnificent bumphead or Napoleon wrasse, which can weigh up to 400 pounds, they were congregating, where I'd only seen solo individuals before. Everything was charged with the struggle for food, sex, and survival, and our hearts were pounding as we tried to conserve our air. That's when we saw another barracuda tornado on the edge of our visibility out to sea, just near the treacherous and invisible current, which could hurl unsuspecting divers out into the deep night sea. I had told our guide that a barracuda tornado was on my bucket list just before the dive, and so he pulled us off the wall and out into the open blue depths. It was the biggest school of barracuda imaginable. From our depth of about 80 feet, I could look up and still barely see some light at the surface, and the circling tornado of barracuda went all the way up. As I looked down, it's hard to judge how far I could see into the limitless depths, with vision more obstructed by fish and sharks than by darkness, but it's safe to say that it was at least 100 feet down with barracuda as far as I could see. We headed straight for them, and then straight through the wall and into the eye of the tornado. And here's what was so amazing to me. Everything seemed calm. I had imagined these fierce predators with their snarly teeth to be acting like all the other fish, hunting and eating everything in sight. But they were calm, tranquil. And then I noticed that snappers, one of a barracuda's favorite foods, were in the tornado with us, just hanging out like they were taking shelter from the tuna and sharks, almost using the barracuda for protection. And then I saw more, actually schooling in with the barracuda, who were definitely not hunting. I've come to assume, though I found no real information on this behavior, that these barracuda were in sort of a sleep state, recognized by other fish who are normally on their menu. Then I noticed butterfly fish, too, were in there, and schools of silver-sided juveniles swam down from the surface like falling sleet, but the barracuda remained calm and restful, even as the bait fish swam within inches of their faces. Occasionally a shark or tuna cruised through the eye and out the other side like they were moving through a wall of smoke. Fish flinched and then returned to their calm attitudes when the predator had passed. I did the same. That's when I became aware of my own state of mind, which had been pretty intense for a while now, with the boat ride and the high seas and diving into a dark water full of feeding sharks, not to mention the thrill of the spawning and the anxiety of leaving the wall to join schooling barracuda in gathering darkness. But suddenly I was calm, like the fish around me, simply existing, taking in the view, trying to comprehend the beauty and complexity of the moment. I locked eyes with my new bride, Nancy, and we shared a silent acknowledgement of the profound emotions of that moment before heading back to the surface to find our boat, lights on, waiting for us at the current's edge on the rolling sea. The next day, we had a dolphin encounter, which I believe is Nancy's favorite dive ever, and Rangiroa remains our favorite dive location and greatest inspiration for our paintings so far. Next stop, Raja Ampat. Be well, be safe, everyone.